Hi, my name is Anita Foster. I'm the library media specialist from Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey y'all, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the library media specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey everyone, I'm Lori Quintana and I'm the library media specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
And welcome to Everdue, Conversations from the Library. I'm so excited. I have been trying to get this interview for several months now, but the person that we are talking to today and having a conversation with, she is so busy. It has been hard to nail one down. And so we finally today scheduled an interview with her. I am so pleased to welcome Janelle McClure.
Thank you. That was quite an introduction.
Well, Janelle and I have known each other for quite some time.
A long time.
Because I was a technology integration specialist in the district before I was a library media specialist. Mm-hmm. And then when I became a library media specialist, Janelle was one of the people that I would go to whenever I needed help because she was one of the best library media specialists in the district.
Oh, that's very sweet, very kind.
And so she has seen the changing over the time from the book-based library mm-hmm. media centers where it was not about the quantity of circulations.
That's right.
It was about the quantity of titles that you have in your space until now we have a library learning commons. Now, Janelle, I will butcher your new role and title. So,
totally okay.
So I'm going to let you say what your job title is in the district now.
Absolutely. So I am the director of applied learning and design. And that includes several different departments because our team just expanded actually about 2 weeks ago. So before that, we had library media, a course department, we had learning resources, and we had digital transformation. And then they expanded our team so that now we have those three, but we also have band and orchestra, we have choral dance and theater, we have visual arts, STEM, and CTAE now also.
Wow.
Hence the change in the title to applied learning and design. We were formerly digital multimedia learning, which none of us really embraced, to be honest with you, but applied learning and design seems to be much more inclusive of the areas that we serve, especially I think with library media, because you are taking a lot of the content area standards. You're embedding all of your library media standards or your technology standards, and that's really applying it to those authentic experiences, which is the learning. And then you get into the design of a learning commons, and you really have all the bits and pieces, right, that go into a library media world. So I'm really excited about that name change, to be honest with you.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But now we know why it was hard to get a hold of her.
Yes.
Yes. She's always...
That's fabulous.
Always busy. And I do have to say that before Holly... Mm-hmm. came in as our director, Janelle was our director.
Yes. So I was a teacher, a classroom teacher for 10 years, and then became a library media specialist. And I did that for a little over 8 years before the supervisor position here at the district for library media became open. And so I moved into that role. It was the best job ever, and did that for a little over, no, not quite 3 years before I was moved into another position at the request of my chief academic officer. So that's when I kind of transitioned away from just being that supervisor and moving more into a role where you led the department as a support, really.
Right.
And then Holly came in, thank God, because she's phenomenal.
Because you were wearing both hats for a little while.
I was. Yeah, not for long, thank goodness. But for a while, my former CAO had created a new position called the Supervisor of Digital Transformation, and it was really looking into learning in a digital environment. And so she asked me to assume that role, and so it was a lateral move, but you don't say no. If someone asks you to move into a role, you say, of course, I'd be happy to take on that challenge for you. So I was doing a little bit of both for a few months there. Until Holly came in.
And when you were our supervisor, that was really when the Learning Commons mm-hmm. model started coming out. Because I remember, mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the name of the book. It was
I can't remember.
The Learning Commons, I think it was. But it was purple. You can go to Amazon and find it. It's a purple Learning Commons book. And
I have to look it up.
And Janelle put that book in my hand and said, study this.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden it was announced like, a week or two later you chose schools that were already in the transition and moving in that direction. But a week or two later, it was named that we were one of the top, or one of the 10 concept schools.
That's right.
For Cobb County to transition to Learning Commons.
Yeah, and so we had started that work about a year after I had started in the supervisor role. So, you know, the most important piece to a Learning Commons is the instructional program. So the space means nothing if you don't have the instruction that's happening within it to even need the spaces. So it was important for us to take that first year to kind of start transitioning mindsets into what the role of a library media specialist really should be in terms of being the instructional partner to support student success and not just be the person who stands behind a desk and checks out books. So we really kind of laid some of the groundwork for that while on the back end we were really researching what a Learning Commons was and what that model looked like. Ironically, we were visiting schools in Gwinnett County to see how they were doing it, where Holly was working at the time, and she was really leading the design aspect of it. So
I actually remember meeting her on one of our visits.
Absolutely. She was always there when she could be. That's how I knew her. That's how I knew she would be what's best for Cobb. But we were really researching how other districts were making this transition. And that way we could come up with our own model here in Cobb and what would work for us. And there was a lot of work that went behind that before we then, identified programs that would be one of the first to transition. And we were looking for programs that already had that strong instructional focus, because there, you're not going to invest money in transitioning the space if you didn't already have that strong instruction.
So there was that mindset.
That mindset in that, you know, when we came in, we were really focused on R2I. Do you remember that? So R2I back in the day was resource librarian to instructional partner. So we were trying to shift that thinking that you're not just there to put together a cart of books because someone is studying mountains, whatever. You know, somebody's studying presidents. So I'm just going to pull all these books and put them on a cart. You're going to take them back to your classroom. And, you know, I'm done with my job here. That's a resource librarian. Oh, I need to put together, you know, some articles for you that will address whatever you're covering in the classroom. You don't need a teaching certificate in order to do that. You don't need a master's degree in order to do that. A parapro can do that. So if a parapro can do it, then they should be.
My library science kids do that.
Right? Precisely, right? Yes. Your students can do it. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. That's management, right? If you're truly going to be an instructional leader, then you should be doing everything a teacher is doing in terms of diving into standards and finding engaging activities and determining what resources would support the learning, looking for authentic assessments, real-world experiences, and then embedding the library media technology standards into the content area so they're not being taught in isolation, which is never going to be impactful. So we spent a long time really getting people to understand that, you know, the environment within the media center and the relationship with the media specialist is absolutely critical to the instructional role, but you can't stop there, right? So to your point, you were saying earlier that you don't have a teaching background.
Exactly.
Right, which makes it a lot more challenging.
It does.
And so what we would do...
Not just from the knowledge background, but having the credibility with the teachers in the building. So,
And trust me, back in the day, you can ask Holly too, I wouldn't have hired you if you didn't have a teaching background. Because I knew what you needed in order to succeed, and I didn't know how you were going to get there if you didn't have that background. Now, of course, my mind has changed 180 since then, because some of the strongest media specialists we now have, Ingrid being one of them, didn't come from a teaching background. Mm-hmm. You learned. Mm-hmm. You learned, you picked it up, you observed, you absorbed, and you've put it into practice. And so I have completely changed my mind on that. But it's more of a challenge for you, because you're coming in with a little bit of a deficit. And so you've got to learn those teaching strategies as well as the library media part.
But when I look at that, though, I look at it from the perspective of our college programs right now do not include that teaching component.
Nope,
so
sure
when we
don't.
Graduate, we don't even get that pedagogy from our programs. And also the state of Georgia does not recognize us as teachers because of that certification not or that teaching component not being there. And so it's a struggle from that perspective as well. And it's something that has... I'm a high-flying library media specialist, mm-hmm. and when you talk about the ones that don't have the teaching background really excelling, I'm excelling. Mm-hmm. And but I'm doing it because it's what I love, and I love what I'm doing, and I'm learning it because I want to know it. I want to be the best at what I'm doing.
Correct.
And so, but that still doesn't give me that foundation I need to, like Holly was talking about, to elevate me to that.
Right.
Place I really, really want to be.
You're gonna have to work that much harder.
Yes, and
to learn what you don't know yet.
Yes, and so I've had this discussion with my professor at the college I attend.
I've had them too.
And so that connection needs to be made between the college and the certification office.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and the certification office, DOE is not gonna change, but. I think what's really important is that in this district, we do recognize you as a teacher. It's on your contract. It's how you're paid. You're eligible for Teacher of the Year status. You are 100% considered a teacher in this district. And so locally, I'm hoping that's more important than, you know, how the state might see you, because the DOE, they're just, you know, treading water too. But we absolutely see that. But then we also expect that. Right. So our expectation then is that you will be teaching more than I would see you checking out books or scanning barcodes for inventory.
So then my question is, to see that but not have that certification component or the experience, where the district would also then come in and provide that support as training and development for library media specialists like myself.
So we did that. Now I can only talk to my role.
Okay.
But when I came in, I did a survey, and I found out that over half of my media specialists had never been a teacher. And I said, well, then, damn, how am I supposed to expect them to be this instructional leader if they've never been a teacher? That's a problem, right?
Because it's not a requirement in our program.
So we developed a course.
Mm-hmm.
We developed an online course on the basics of teaching strategies. And we provided it to our media specialists. It was at their leisure, of course. I mean, it's up to them whether they took it. But we had a fully designed course on that.
And that's still available? Or
I don't know where it is. Where is that?
No idea.
Because I would love to see it.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we did do that. And I'm certain that Holly would, of course, be totally. And there's nothing I'm saying that I know Holly wouldn't be totally open to, too. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time ago. I don't know if I still have it. I'm certain we would have done it in Blackboard, and Blackboard is gone. So I don't know that I would mm-hmm. still have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked together with some of the professional learning specialists to develop that for that very reason.
Okay.
So you're right. We should be supporting that. And that's part of that differentiated PL, mm-hmm. really, that you should be expecting from anyone, so that the people who had been teaching for 20 years and moved into library media and have those strategies have other options, obviously, for their
PL. I'm not even sure if I should say this or not. but going back to something we just talked about a second ago, in the district supporting those of us who don't have that teaching component, I actually was told by our district from somebody in the certification office that I am not allowed to teach, and I am not a teacher because I don't have that certification.
Well,
and that kind of just kind of like really set me back.
you got to consider the source.
Yes.
So you're talking to a non-educator.
But who's in charge of certification? And so I thought, why is there discrepancy there?
So when I was a TIS, somebody in the certification office, I was submitting my paperwork for my master's, which I had already, and but they didn't understand why I was submitting my certification as a technology integration specialist for a master's degree. And I said, well, it's one of the requirements, and I just wanted to show you, here's my transcript, so that, one, I got the pay bump, but two, this is when I first started in Cobb County, but two, because it's a requirement for my job. And they said, it's not a requirement for your job. Someone in the certification office told me this. Mm-hmm. It's not a requirement for your job because your supervisor doesn't even have a master's. And yes, my supervisor had a doctorate at the time. So,
well, in my line,
they thought I worked for a different department who, at the time, they did not.
It says, your degree allows you to be a media specialist. It does not allow you to be a teacher. That was the line.
Well, and
so
it's
frustrating.
Essence,
it's frustrating.
In essence, that could be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a specific certification. If you wanted to go teach ELA right now,
right.
You do not have the certification for
right.
that. So in HR world, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
In education world, you're absolutely a teacher. because you teach on a daily basis.
Right.
They're not looking at it like that. So please don't let them.
No.
They're just looking at it in terms of them.
It set me back a bit. And then I said, okay, no, now I'm going forward and I'm going to be that person that, you know, I want to be in educating kids. So it's not going to stop me.
Okay. So gone are the days. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where we were just the curator of the books.
That's right.
Although being a curator of the books is very important. It is one of our 10 standards, but it is one of our standards, not all of them. So what do you think is in our future? What do you think is on the forefront that we should be looking forward to and moving towards? Because I'm one of those people that I can't stay still. I've always got to keep learning and keep doing and things like that. So what do you think is our next thing, our next big thing?
So I think we need to start looking a little bit more, and I hate these terms, but they're all I have to go on right now because they're global. Things like personalized and blended learning. So you can call it whatever you want, but if we're looking at school in terms of instructional design as well as spatial design, then I think we have to start looking at classrooms as learning spaces and not just individual class periods. This is your math classroom third period, this is your ELA classroom fourth period, and so on and so forth. I think we're going to be moving into a world where students are following their own learning path, still responsible for standards, still responsible for assessing them on standards, however that might look, but they're owning more of that learning. And if they're owning more of that learning, then teachers become more facilitators. They can still be content area experts. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna go to Ms. Jones because she knows math like nobody's business. I don't have to go to Ms. Jones from 12:30 to 2 every single day during fourth period and sit there and listen to how to do materials that I'm already excelling at. I could potentially be going to the media center to be working on an individual math assignment that's actually applying what I already know to a real world experience. And then I just hit up Ms. Jones if I run into a snag or just need, you know, a little reinforcement or maybe a quick tutorial, because she's gonna have like open office hours from 3 to 4. You know, it's more of this free movement, I think, throughout the school. And I think the library is, as it's always been, that core classroom that provides everything you could possibly mm-hmm. need, but absolutely the place where they can go for that independent study, mm-hmm. As well as maybe a small group study. So the Learning Commons is really leading us into that. But it's that mind shift, again, change that is going to take time, especially in a district as large as ours, where we start looking at how we provide teaching and learning differently. So how can we accommodate online courses?
That's what college is right now. If you're an online student, you're doing the independent work, and you're only checking in if you have a question or something.
Exactly.
And I tell the kids that all the time.
Right.
You know, when they're struggling, I need to get or ask my teacher this, or why aren't they showing it more, in more depth or something like that. You've got to problem solve. You've got to look for that information, and you've got to figure that out. And so that's what you're going to do in college.
Right.
There are still in class or, you know, classroom sessions and stuff like that, but for the most part, most people are going to the online format.
And there's your blended approach. It's one blended approach of many, but I mean, it's one option that we should be able to provide. Not just media specialists serving as the adult in the room mm-hmm. to make sure that you're not misbehaving,
right?
But it's a space where you can go to learn, however that might look. Mm-hmm. And we provide the avenue through which to do that. So, we do have the most computers in the whole school. And being a district that's not a one-to-one, then we've got to figure out how best to use those resources so that we can accommodate student learning. So I think there's a possibility there.
I actually have students who come in now during the school day who are doing the online classes, and so mm-hmm. their classroom actually is the library.
Right.
And I stand there sometimes looking at them like, how can I be more involved in that? You know what I mean? Where's my piece in that? Because you're in this space, but how am I supporting you other than giving you a computer? And
which that might be all they need at the time, but maybe there's an assignment that comes from that.
Yes.
And that they're going to need your assistance mm-hmm. on, especially if it's some sort of a research project.
And mm-hmm. our we've done a lot of flipped in our school too. So another way of using that blended learning is with the flipped model, where the teacher is doing their 10-minute lecture, 5-minute lecture, whatever it is, online. And our students love that model because they can pause it, mm-hmm. they can rewind it, they can mm-hmm. hear it multiple times if they need to. And then when they're in the classroom, that's when they're having their hands-on activities based on that learning that they did through the video. Mm-hmm. So that's another great way to do that. We have a couple of teachers that implement that model.
Absolutely. And there are several others. You know, you've got your station rotation, if you mm-hmm. will, as another model. And there's a flex model. I mean, there's several different mm-hmm. ones that I've kind of started just preliminarily looking at. But I think the Media Center can provide opportunities for internships because they can be done virtually, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to be in person. Or, connecting with students from around the world or just across the state, district, whatever. I think there's opportunities for that in the Media Center that can be linked to individualized learning and personal paths. I think you're going to see more of that digital environment, especially as we continue to build out CTLS Learn, which is the student platform of CTLS.
CTLS is mm-hmm. Cobb Teaching Learning System.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, which is basically grown, homegrown with specific external partners that are helping us to develop it. But, you know, you have to really put what teaching and learning looks like in a digital environment prior to the development of the platform itself. It's just like with the Learning Commons. You put the instructional practice before you do the design of the space. So I think this also is going to kind of give us opportunities for students to be able to branch out on their own, and I can see the Media Center being a part of that.
And one of the classes that I'm doing right now with my students, we have extended learning time mm-hmm. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's a 30-minute block, mm-hmm. and another teacher collaborated with me on it. We have 40 students, which is way too many to do, but just FYI, mm-hmm. we have Genius Hour happening.
Oh, good.
So the students get to choose their own learning way. They're going to learn it to create something unique that's never been created before.
I love it.
So Janelle, going back to like the CTLS thing, mm-hmm. and I mean, our teachers, I see them all the time going to their professional learning to learn what's going on in CTLS and their common assessments and all of this stuff and everything like that. When do you see or do you foresee library media specialists ever being included in on that and being a partner with that so that we have that information as well and are able to utilize it, to support student learning in the school as well?
Well, you should already be a part of it.
We have a part. We have access to it. We don't have access to all of the assess part of it. So of the I respond quizzes and stuff like that, we don't have, but we do have access to go in and see the standards through there and mm-hmm. some of the resources through there.
Yeah, so there's different pieces and parts of CTLS. So CTLS assess is what they train, is what they're training on the most often. Because mm-hmm. It's the critical piece, right? If you're going to have data that drives instruction, you got to start with the data. So that assess piece is not as pervasive in the library media world, nor do I think it needs to be. I think whatever teacher you're collaborating with can share their data of their kids with you, and mm-hmm. you should actually ask for it, in my opinion, so that you can see how you can support whatever the growth areas are or the enrichment areas. So as long as they can share that with you, then you should be fine in terms of assess. But you have access to CTLS Teach, which has all your standards, frameworks. It has the resource library in it with over 500,000 objects that you have access to that, as well as what all the examples of, we call them floor docs. I'm trying to think of another word for them than floor docs. But basically, you've got course overviews, unit overviews, individual topics. You've got enduring understandings, essential questions, assessments, instructional strategies. All of that is in Teach, and you have access to all of that. And so that's where I would focus your efforts in that. And it's so intuitive that you can just go in there and play around. You'll know it in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you really, really, really want something more of an in-depth dive into it, then A, when that training is available, which isn't often because you don't really need it, but at your school, then you are welcome to attend. Or B, you can just holler at Stacy Buckaloo, who is over all of that, and she'll come out and train you herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those, we don't know that you know this or not, we have a large following in other states as well.
Oh, that's great.
So What can other districts and other states do to either see CTLS and what's going on in it? I know they won't have access to the data and stuff.
Yeah, I can't.
But,
yeah, unfortunately, I can't help you with CTLS right now because it's just internal. I don't have an external way of sharing it. I can tell you that it's the Learn piece will be comparable to like a learning management system, only better, of course, in our opinion, because we're developing it. But if you have something, any kind of a learning object repository in your district, that's basically what the resource library is. And then Teach. So if you have, and your learning management system might actually accommodate this, but it's really where teachers, where the district can host materials. It's really a content management system is what it is. It's the one place where we provide all of our instructional materials so that teachers can just go to one place to find it. So before, each individual department or subject area might have had their own place where they stored materials, and it was ridiculous.
It was.
Teachers couldn't find
anything. Oh, my
goodness.
Do you remember Picasso? Those in Cobb County for a long, long time may remember Picasso.
And Picasso was better than some of the other stuff we had, to be honest with you, because like ELA had all of their stuff in a live binder, and then math had all their stuff in Blackboard, and then science had a website, and they just put all their stuff on the website. I mean, it was just teachers, and if you're K-5 teaching all core, they were
you had to go to
bouncing
different...
around. So Teach was a content management system that basically allowed us to organize and host all these materials, standards, frameworks in one place so that teachers only had to go there. So it just kind of gives you an idea of what, and you probably have something in your district that's comparable at this in 2020. Chances are you have something like that.
So my takeaway from this, if you're a library media specialist and you're wanting to look towards what is coming down the pike, is look at those standards.
Yep.
Embed with those standards. Collaborate with those teachers and work with them. See how you can support them and include in your library standards, but also include in ISTE's standards for technology, or whatever technology standards your district or state goes through.
Agreed.
And work with those teachers and get them to come in and visit you and collaborate with you. And
so we say, you know, it only takes one. The biggest complaint that we hear or challenge, we'll say, from media specialists is that their teachers say there's not enough time. And, you know, it from their experience, they probably see this as one more thing that they're losing class time for. If you design strategies, instruction, lessons, units that are covering their content standards as well as yours, then you can sell it as it being part of their curriculum and framework and pacing guide, and that you're just helping them along as opposed to it being something different. And really that's the challenge, is really being creative.
Let me take something off your plate is what
yeah,
we used to say.
Yeah, that's right. And it only takes one teacher to say, yeah, that sounds good, and you do something phenomenal. The great thing about the media center is it's in the center. And so then people are walking through all the time going, what are you doing? What are they doing over there? That looks fun. I want to do that. And then, boom, before you know it, word spreads, and you can't keep your schedule clear.
That's right.
That's all it takes. One creative idea and one teacher willing to do it with you, and I promise it'll catch on.
It will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Janelle, we want to say thank you for joining us today. You're
so
one of my favorite people.
And vice versa, my love. So it's nice to be able to talk about library media again. So I appreciate the opportunity. It is my heart.
I know.
For sure. My passion and my heart. So you guys are doing a great job, though. I don't worry about you at all. And you've got strong leadership. So I have the utmost faith that all is going well for kids in the schools.
And I'm just sitting over here like a new library media specialist in Cobb. I'm not new anymore. This is my fourth year.
Yeah,
but
that's not new.
Nope.
But, I mean, I've never met Janelle before, so I'm just kind of like maybe fangirling right now.
So Ingrid's not here because she had to go get some dental work done. But so we had this scheduled with Janelle, and I'm like, I'm not canceling it. I'm sorry. I can't cancel it because it's been so hard to get her.
I know, and I almost
so, care. But she is phenomenal, and I,
well, you're sweet.
Yeah, I just absolutely love Janelle.
Oh, I love you, baby.
So,
and I love media specialists.
We know you do.
I do.
And I knew this would be an excellent question for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. There is no stronger power in a classroom than a media specialist, in my opinion. We are it. So make it happen.
I agree.
Yep, make it happen.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district.